Blog Talk Radio.
Welcome. My name is Diane Murray Ward, and I am your host on Fasted Gems. Give thanks for our blessings. Enjoy life and loved ones now. Mentor when you can. Silence allows us to hear the inner voice and concentrate on the good. Welcome. Faceted Gems is so happy to have tonight our guest, Raul. Raul has been a very good friend of mine for several years. Thank you, Raul, for joining us on Faceted Gems.
Not a problem, Dan.
Raul has an extensive background in helping people, and that is his forte, and it's what he loves, and I can tell you from personal experience he is excellent at it. He started in the Visiting Nurse Service Short-Term Management Program, which is affiliated with the Housing Preservation and Development Case Management and Advocacy Program, and he has been tireless in his efforts in helping community, especially the Bushwick community presently. He has constantly worked with youth at risk in several communities, and he is the co-founder of STARR, S-T-A-R-R, Inc., with the Bushwick Community Partnership. He's a program coordinator, and he's active on the Bushwick Community Board. But he does more than that. He's a wonderful person, a valuable friend, has a wonderful wife, and I'm just so happy and pleased that you're here to talk about, I guess, your career, your life, how you evolved into what you're doing right now. Could you tell us a little bit more about your background?
Okay. Well, I'll tell you, when I first, I guess, started out on my career path, I actually wanted to be a lawyer.
Okay.
So as I was taking, I guess, like, you know, the classes that you have to take to start preparing to be a lawyer, political science, I realized that it really wasn't for me. It wasn't anything that I got any joy out of. So I changed majors, and I went into psychology because when you're looking at career paths with a BA in psychology, you can pretty much do a lot of different things, and if I still wanted to go on to law school, I could.
Right. You left your options open, in other words, right?
Yeah.
Uh-huh.
So I'll tell you, like, I think maybe might have been a year or two before I graduated, I was doing some community service with my fraternity, and we were tutoring at a local middle school right outside of where the college that I went to was. And I guess that's when I first kind of fell in love with, I guess, working with people. We ended up working with the Catonsville Middle School, and they gave us pretty much like the worst that they had. The kid that I was tutoring was failing everything but woodshop. So our work was kind of cut out for us. I'll tell you, as hard as I tried in tutoring and working with this kid, I couldn't get him to pass his grade. And in talking to him, a good part of it was just his schedule at home. He never made any time for his homework. He would get home from school, drop his bag, go out and play, come back in at like 7 or 8, play video games until dinner time. After that, he'd have to take a shower and then try to squeeze in his homework before he went to bed. He never finished in time. And sometimes would leave his homework at home because he never put it in his bag because he was working on it until he went to sleep. I got a lot out of it. We did it again, you know, the next semester. So when I got out of school, I was like, man, I need to start, you know, I want to start helping kids. And that's when I started working over at the Regional Institute for Children and Adolescents. And there I was working with emotionally disturbed kids. So these were kids that were like one step away from hospitalization. They were in inpatient residential, working on their issues to eventually get themselves like out. Again, it's incredibly rewarding work. And I can't say that I saw it as work because I got so much out of it. But as part of the evolution...
You know, it takes a special person. Let me just say this. It takes a very special person to be able to work with special needs children or children that don't know how to prioritize or maybe even whatever's going on in their households. I mean, you know, that's why it's so important that people take the time and have the patience to work with children that really just need some guidance. You know, if no one's there to guide them and explain to them this would be a better route to take or a path that will open up even more opportunities and growth for them. And it doesn't have to be drudgery. I mean, you know, it's just having that adult or that older person able to explain that there's an easier way to do this. They could have everything that they want, but it has to be done in a certain sequence. You know, like the gentleman, the little boy you talked about, prioritize. But there was no one home to help him prioritize.
Exactly. But even so much as like the special person that it takes to do this, it just takes basically. I mean, it all comes down to almost just being able to just listen. And I think that's one of the best things that I say as far as my skill set to help me do what I do is that I just listen. A lot of times if you just be quiet and let other people talk, you'll be able to – they'll tell you everything that you need to know, particularly even how to help them. Because when they talk, they'll talk about the things that are getting in their way. They'll talk about what they feel is holding them back. Even to the point where you can almost kind of outmaneuver them and explain to them how it's not really holding them back, that a lot of times people are holding themselves back. And that's usually the one thing that the hardest thing is to kind of, when it comes to helping people, is just trying to figure out exactly why they're stopping themselves from becoming successful. Because every person ultimately, you know, I kind of believe that God has given us everything that we need to be able to succeed. A lot of times we don't realize what those gifts are and we don't tap into them.
Right. That's exactly true. And that's the reason that I started the program. Mm-hmm. Faceted Gems is based on the premise, which I truly believe it's not myth. It's fact that we all have special gifts and skills that sometimes we tap and sometimes we don't. And sometimes family and friends could be the reasons why we don't. Sometimes it's fear. Sometimes people are afraid. And the hope is that as people listen to the program and hear what other people have gone through or how others have developed that skill or career or opportunity, that they're encouraged and empowered to feel, you know what, I can do that too, or I came from a similar background, or mm-hmm. I also have those interests. But, you know, something you said to me, and you take it for granted, but I realize this is something that comes naturally to you, which is not true of everyone, is being able to listen. You know, that's mm-hmm. a gift, Raul, because not everyone knows how to do that. And it's so different than hearing, because hearing is just having the, you know, the sound waves hit your tympani in your ear and, you
exactly.
know, you hear. But But listening is an active process, and it requires you to take in what they're saying, comprehend it. It's an active process. And a lot of people don't want to take the time to do that. And so, you know, I commend you on just being able to listen. It's a wonderful gift. How do you think people can nurture that, though?
Practice. When I work with, like, I train people in the community to help, you know, families that are going through crises. And in my training, I spend a good part of it talking about active listening, to being able to, you know, just not the, oh, I heard what they said, but to understand exactly how to do it. And there's strategy to it. You know, you got to be able to reflect. You have to be able to make good eye contact. Body, you know, like body language is a big thing, too. Because, you know, you want to be listening, but you don't want to seem like you're prying. So it's like, you know, how do I ask questions that I'm going to get the answers to? So sometimes it's, I mean, anybody that has children knows you can't ask your kid, well, how was school? Because all you get is a one-word answer. It was fine.
Right.
It was okay. It was great. You know, what does great mean to them? You know, it means, well, you know, I got a D and I didn't fail. Or I only got into one fight. Or, you know, you're probably going to get one call to, you know, this afternoon, sometime around 3 or 4, explaining what I did today. And that's why, you know, sometimes you not, you know, you have to be able to ask questions that are going to get you the information that you need. So you have to, like, you have to work at it. It's like, you know, I mean, it's something that I've been able to do, I guess, like you say, take for granted, because I've done it pretty much all my life. I've had to work at, you know, training it to the point where I can use it professionally. But yeah, just sometimes you just need to shut up, just close your mouth, and just let other people do the talking. I mean, that's really what it comes down to, being able to understand and be actively conscious of the fact that I'm really not going to say anything right now, and I'm just going to let this person talk. But then you also have to not react, overreact to what they're telling you, because if you're in a conversation with somebody, particularly if you're like a social worker or you're trying to do some work and you're working with somebody, and they start telling you some you know, start getting deep into the things that are causing them issues that you need to start, that you're putting yourself in a position to help them with. If they tell you something crazy off the wall or something that, you know, you would normally like, oh my God, that's horrible. If you make that, oh my God, it's horrible face without saying, oh my God, it's horrible, you pretty much shut down that conversation. Because then the person will assume that, oh well, they're judging me somehow.
And that's very important. That's right. And it's very important because it ties in with something else you also said about body language. You know, you can tell a lot about a person. A person's body speaks volumes, and you have to be attentive to that. And if you're not, then while they're probably even screaming something to you and you're not picking it up because you're not taking in the whole picture, it's not just the sound of their voice, it's the way they're posturing, it's the way their eyes look, it's the way everything. It's you know, and especially with children, you have to be particularly careful and particularly diligent, I think, because they are very, very sensitive souls. We have had children that we know that in every city, every country, that has gone through traumatic experiences. And the last thing they need is someone who's going to be judgmental.
Exactly.
The last thing they need.
And the same thing goes for the parents of those kids. Because they instantly assume, they don't want to tell the story to somebody else because then they're going to assume that, oh, well, it's, you know, you're going to blame me, it's my fault. And they don't want that to be, you know, they don't want that stigma. It's hard enough dealing with the fact that, you know, they realize that, you know, if their child or even themselves are going through some stuff and that they're, you know, they're not right or what they're doing isn't right, but it's what they need to do because that's how they get through the day-to-day. It's hard to challenge that. It's hard to challenge someone's reality. But the only thing that actually gets people to a better place is when you start challenging your beliefs and your reality, when you you take a look and look at, man, this isn't right. I got to change something. I think that's a lot of people fall into that trap that they expect opportunity to just kind of hit them. And it isn't like that. Sometimes you have to seek out your opportunities. They can be there, but you have to act on them. If you're tired of every year being the exact same way, then you need to change something or nothing will ever change. So you need to do something different in your life if you want this year to be different than last year. Because if you're doing the same things, you're following the same habits, if you're looking at things the same way, then you're always going to get the same result.
Mm-hmm.
So people who are really active and looking for a change should look and model to the people that are successful. Because
right.
there's no secret to the things that they do.
Right.
They're just different than what everybody else tends to do on the normal day-to-day.
And sometimes you need to change some of the friends, and sometimes you need to change the environment, and sometimes it may take additional study or learning. And don't be afraid to say that I don't know something, and don't be afraid to ask for help. And I find that sometimes, right, sometimes people are afraid to ask for help. I don't know that you're hurting if you don't
mm-hmm.
tell me, okay?
Exactly.
And so once they get beyond that, and it's, you know, it's just like a leap of faith in what you think you want to do and what careers you might want to try. And if you're around
True.
People that are naysayers, that are constantly negative and want to tell you, oh, you'll never do that, or not, you know, they might be saying, you're not bright enough for that. Oh, you're kidding. You can't do that. Then you don't need to hear that. You don't need to hear that static. You need to be around individuals that will at least help you or refer you to
mm-hmm.
individuals who can assist you and at least guide you. And, you know, it's so wonderful. You were in a mentorship program, and I know I've mentored as well. And it's a wonderful, wonderful opportunity to help someone else. But also, I always learn from the people that I mentor. It's a two-way street.
Oh, it always is. In fact, I often, if I'm mentoring somebody, if I'm taking on an intern and I'm trying to work with them, if there's something about them that I don't particularly like,
mm-hmm.
I usually try to think about it. What is it about me and my personality that's similar to what I see in them that I don't like? Because there's usually
mm-hmm.
something, there's a correlation. And that's when I'm
right.
like, okay, well, this is what I need to work on. And that's how I improve myself.
That's a wonderful way to look at it. That's an excellent way to look at it. That's right.
Yeah, because nobody's
right.
a finished product. Everybody's constantly, you know, honing your skills. You're getting better. But I, you said it right on the nose. Every time you interact with somebody, you take something from them, and you should be able to use that in a positive manner. Because we're always learning from everybody. That's the only way it works. And that's one of the few things. I mean, I'll tell you, you alluded to it earlier when you said that, you know, sometimes there are people who are, you know, holding you back or might be getting in your way, and some of those people might be your loved ones in your life.
Mm-hmm.
And that's true. But a lot of times it's not even them being negative, it's they're trying to protect you. You know, they
right.
don't want to see you take a chance that you're going to fall on your face.
Right.
But like you said, sometimes you might have to ignore some of that if you want to try to do better, if you want to try to expand. Improving yourself isn't easy. It's, you know, there are growing pains involved. It's not going to be comfortable. You need to get out of your comfort zone if you want to continue to grow. Otherwise, you kind of get used to what you're doing and where you're at. And there's always room for improvement.
Absolutely. Absolutely. And that's why I'm so glad that Neil Blake allowed me to have this show. He allowed me to really try this out. We did radio program before, and I just want to tell all our listeners, you're listening to Faceted Gems on Blake Radio Network Rainbow Soul. And I'm Diane Murray Ward. I'm so happy to have Raoul with me this evening, who's talking about how basically we're agents of change if we want to be, and if the person is really receptive to it. You know, it's very interesting. A lot of people that have taken that leap of faith and tried to expand their horizons and do what their gut feeling tells them they can do, because there's more that they can do. They know of the people that love them, if they don't make it at this attempt, they're still going to be loved.
Mm-hmm.
You know, when you have someone in your corner, even if they may feel, that's a mistake, but go ahead. Knowing that you have someone in your corner is a wonderful thing. Now, I've had some guests that haven't had people in their corner, and
yeah.
they forged ahead anyway. And they said, you know what, even if it didn't pan out exactly the way I wanted it to, they feel so much better that they made the attempt, that at least they tried, because they don't want to ever be in a position where they say, you know, woulda, coulda, shoulda. I shoulda,
yeah.
you know, when I had the chance, when I had the opportunity, when, you know, and then what if it had panned out? They will always be second-guessing themselves. And, you know, just one more thing. There was a young lady we had on the program, and she said, you know, Diane, when I die and God asked me why I didn't use this, that, or the other skill, I don't know why I'll have to tell him. What am I going to tell him? I don't know. I, she said, I don't want to have an excuse. I want to say, yeah, you see, I tried. You know? And for her, it happened to work out. She's a fantastic writer now. But
yeah.
I'm just saying, you know, it's the kind of thing that I hadn't thought of it that way. But she said, I don't want to have no answer for him. I don't want to,
gotcha.
You know, start flubbing. I don't know. I mean, he's there. He saw what I did. Or didn't
I would probably tell him that I ran out of time.
I think that's
if you're giving me if you're giving me another couple of weeks, I probably would have got to the rest of them.
You know, I think you're absolutely right. I think it's, you know, if only I had a little bit more time.
Just a little bit more time.
But you see, that's good because we're looking forward and forward thinking. Positive thinking, being there for people, that's really, really important. And, you know, the fact that you're doing this with young people, hopefully they'll get the idea that they can do this for someone else as well.
That's true.
You
I'll tell you, I don't think we put enough expectations on, you know, on the next generation.
Mm-hmm.
And that's one of the things that I don't think people have, you know, have gotten ahead of the learning curve.
Okay.
The young people today learn a lot differently than probably you or I did when
right.
it comes to information, like how they process stuff. Every kid has a, you know, a portable computer in their pocket. So
right.
to try to tell them that they need to learn history, you know, it's almost redundant. He's like, I can just look up anything that I need because everything's
mm-hmm.
at a fingertip at this point.
Right.
So we're not stressing creative thinking. We're not stressing the social relationships, the interactive values, the interpersonal relationships that it takes to learn how to help somebody.
Right.
I don't know if you know if you go to any place where young people hang out now, even young adults, you sit around, you look, everybody's sitting at a table, nobody's really conversing with themselves. They're sitting there like, you know, on their iPhones, on their iPads, texting away, creating levels of social media that's you know, a whole lot different than when we grew up. When I was growing up, I was dying to be able to learn how to drive so that I could borrow my mom's car, so that me and all my, you know, my friends can go out and cruise for chicks.
Right.
Because that's how you did it.
Right.
I'm talking to, like, you know, the people that I went to college with who have kids mm-hmm. now that are, you know, driving age, and none of them drive. And I was like, wow, really? He's like, how does he get, you know, how does he hook up with his friends? He's like, oh, he does it on the computer.
Mm-hmm.
So, you know, they and video games now. You can play,
mm-hmm.
you know, you can be alone in your house, but you're playing with 12, 13 other people,
right?
You know, online at a time. And you,
right.
you, nobody else knows because it's in your ear and you're looking at them on the screen.
Right.
So it's a whole different, you know, it's a whole different atmosphere. And like I said, I don't think the education system's caught up to it. I don't think, you know, the way parents socialize their kids are, you know, aware of some of those, like, you know, the values that requires to make people complete people. Eventually, they're going to figure it out.
Yeah.
But you know, it's always easy to do it when you got a head start.
But, you know, the more it's brought to the forefront and it's brought to the attention, and you say, you know, you can have all of those things and you can still have the ability to socialize and to mingle and to meet with people and to do all those things. And in whatever way you're comfortable with that, we need to find a way to not lose anything. Because
yeah.
we should be building each generation. The best kind of person, the best kind of human being, the best kind of individual, the best kind of – building on all those strengths. We don't have to lose anything that we've gained.
No, you're right.
There's a lot to be said for each generation. Now, finding a happy milieu for all of that is what we have to work on, and I think that's why it's so important that we don't throw our hands up in the air and say, oh, forget about it, or it's not worth it. Every child is important. Every child is worth it. Every experience is worth it. That's why I ask people if they were interested in mentoring. I had wonderful mentors. And one of my mentors, he didn't even know I was mentoring myself after him because I just liked the way he operated. I liked the way he handled situations. I liked the way he addressed people. There was always a professionalism, a way of talking that I appreciated. Even in very dangerous situations or whatever, the way this person handled themselves, I really wanted to, emulate. And, you know, years later, I let the person know, then he had no idea. But you see, this is what young people and adults, I'm not too old to learn. It's funny that you were saying before because, you know, I'm a work in progress. I'll say that in a minute. That's how we should, in my opinion, I don't usually use the word should. I only use should for myself.
I
should operate, that I am constantly trying to better myself. And in the process, if I can help someone else on their road to discovery or challenge them in a positive way, then it's a good thing. You know, there's only good out of that. There is.
Of course. Yeah.
You know, and I think the fact that you're able to do this with young people, with adults, with children, I think this is wonderful because, you know, it's so cliche. People say, oh, children are our future. But do they have any real substance behind that statement? Don't just say it if you're not going to do anything to help them.
True that.
I don't know.
Wow, that's deep.
I think you're doing a wonderful job, and we just have to continue.
True. I mean, I'll tell you, when you talk about self-discovery and that journey, the one thing that people really need to do is to talk about what they want to do.
Mm-hmm.
And I don't think enough people do that because you'll never know. Just like you said, you'll never know if somebody's hurting unless they tell you that they're hurting. If somebody's trying to make a change, or they're trying to do something, or they're trying to improve, or trying to get involved in something, or if they want to start a business, or change a life goal, they should talk
mm-hmm.
about it.
Right.
Successful people come up with plans. Successful people share those plans.
Right.
I'll tell you this: my martial arts instructor is also a financial consultant, and he does like self-help and financial freedom workshops. But I didn't know this. I was just coming
mm-hmm.
to him for martial arts. But every now and then I get an email blast about his insiders group. That's what he called it. His name's Haruna
mm-hmm.
Kett. And so one day I'm like, man, what's this insiders group thing that you keep on sending emails about? And then he started telling me about, like, you know, the real estate investing that he was doing and the financial freedom workshops, and he's trying to change people's mindsets about success. And so I got involved with that. I started doing real estate investing with him. I took his financial freedom course. I learned
wow.
a lot about setting goals, about all that stuff. But I wouldn't have known any of that if I hadn't asked the questions. One of the things that I learned was that if you don't talk about what you're trying to do, the chance of success diminishes greatly.
Mm-hmm.
If I told everybody that, look, you know what, I want to start a business, and this is what I wanted to do. I want to start a cupcake factory.
Mm-hmm.
If I start telling people about it, then I almost give it life. Because then, besides the fact that I'm talking about it, it gets me thinking about it, I'm focusing on it, I've now told everybody that I care about that this is what I'm trying to do. So now there's almost a social kind of capital now. Now there's like, now, well, I told everybody I got to do this. Now I really need to try to do this. Otherwise, everybody's going to look at me like, oh, I'm just talking. It almost gives you fuel
That's
to
right.
do it now, because now otherwise you're just talking out the side of your mouth. You're like, no, I really wanted to do this. And
well,
people
you know
are going to
what?
Look at you weird because they don't,
That's
you know,
right.
they're not willing to put it out there like, oh, this is what I want to do. This is my life goal. But the thing is, the more you say it, then I'm like, well, you know what? I know this person that likes to bake. Oh, I know, I know somebody who's got a bakery and they're looking to hire somebody.
Well, let me tell you, ladies
and gentlemen. Once you put it out, you start fitting those things in.
But Raul is going to be back because we're going to get an update on his business. Thank you, Raul, for being on Faceted Gems. Ladies
problem,
and gentlemen.
Anytime.
Love everyone. Empower. Assist when you can. Dream and believe in the positive energy within. Thank you so much, Raul. Thank you, ladies and gentlemen. This has been Faceted Gems. Our guest has been Raul. Thank you, and we are going to follow up on this entrepreneur.